In fact, the effect of what Einstein has said is this, that space is to our consciousness three-dimensional. That is to say, there is length, breadth, and depth. Now, these are the three dimensions of space of which we are aware normally. And this is peculiar to our consciousness. A small creature like a bug may not have three-dimensional view of space at all. It only sees there is one dimension or two dimensions. Our senses are so located that we can see these three things at the same time. Even in art, for example, we know that actually depth is seen by a certain device. Otherwise, it is only two-dimensional. And attempts are made to give you instruments by which you can, even on the screen of cinema now, where you can have three-dimensional experience of what is presented on two dimensions. Now, if there is time for every space, then it is a fourth dimension. So the modern science speaks of four-dimensional space-time continuum. This is the expression in modern science. The world as a whole is four-dimensional space-time continuum. Not space and time, but space-time, space-time. It is space-time continuum, but four-dimensional. So in this book for children, which I had seen 20 years ago, where objects were shown with a dimension of time, which you don't see physically, and according to Einstein, time is physical. It's not merely as we think normally, we don't see physically time, but actually time is physical. Time is connected with speed. And speed is a physical event. So space-time continuum, how to present to the children? In any case, our children, when they go to the level of MSc, even BSc and MSc, they are required to study this. If they take science as a specialization, they are required to study this. But a time will come when the knowledge will still expand further, so that what is being taught at the level of BSc will be taught at the level of lower levels of education. And that will still come down further. So, the age in which we are living is so highly intellectual that if the modern generation is not trained in high level of intellectuality, we will be unfit to live in the modern times. We won't be able to adjust ourselves with the modern times. And here there lies a very big danger for civilization. If intellectually it develops to such an extent as this, and since intellectual domain is so vast, and the lanes and bylanes of intellectual thought are so multitudinous, millions of ways of thinking, of which you are not even aware, but as you start reading intellectual books, you will see hundreds and millions of ways of thinking and points of view. And if humanity is sunk into this huge network of millions of ways of thinking, then the question of experiencing will be so much postponed. You will be only lying all the time in the field of abstraction and abstraction and abstraction. It will be a great danger. Human beings will be highly abstract and the capacities of dealing with concrete and experience will be so limited, it is one of the great dangers of the civilization that is going to come up. Already we see that our children, when they are studying, if they are really studying, they become so abstract. We are obliged to give them such abstractions. Even in a subject like commerce, for example, how much mathematics is involved? How much graph is involved? The curves of the graphs and understanding of the graphs. Actual concrete realities are separate, but understanding through graphs and through mathematical formula, so how much abstraction has come in our thinking. It is true that most of the children forget about it, but if they are really studying it, truly, and ultimately, gradually, this burden is going to come upon humanity in a very large way. So, it is going to be a kind of a consciousness which will be highly abstract, and when the intellectual consciousness becomes very abstract, there is a great danger that its capacity to deal with the concrete becomes diminished. In humanity, once you develop one capacity, the other capacity becomes diminished. To develop all the capacities equally is a very difficult task. To make a philosopher a story writer is very difficult. To make a story writer a philosopher is very difficult. Some, of course, can be. But once you develop on one line, it is very difficult to be another. To put a philosopher on a political throne in the present time is very dangerous, because he may not be able to understand the concrete problems of mankind at all. His mind is so abstract that he is not able to read the concreteness of life. Of course, the ideal would be that he should be able to do it. But merely being intellectual, you cannot achieve that ideal at all. That is impossible. Something more is to be done after being intellectuality, something more is to be done to be able to reach that harmony. Now, at that time, you will ask the question, if there are millions of ways of thinking, are there any ways by which this can be abridged? Are there any ways in which you can distill all the different ways of thinking and arrive at the most minimum, most essential, which can be mastered? My answer is 7 pages of this book. It is as if we have visualized so many ways of thinking. Any way of thinking you take, ultimately, when you reduce to the most minimum, most essential, to what do you arrive? On the question of existence, in these 7 pages, you have all the essential elements. Therefore, you can see, if you read the 7 pages, you don't need to go through millions of ways of thinking on this subject. So it is kind of a summary of summary of summary of summary of summary, you might say. The most distilled elements. Therefore, you might say, intellectually, this is perfect. It is because of this reason at all that I venture even to speak of this before all my friends.